We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
A mayday call from the cargo ship that hit a bridge in Baltimore likely saved many lives. Hello, I'm Steve Eager. Six people are presumed dead following the overnight wreck that caused the Francis Scott Key Bridge to collapse. The NTSB says the cargo ship lost power and floated and rammed into the bridge, destroying it in seconds. The six people missing were part of a construction crew working on the bridge. Now, questions remain about the logistical impacts in the next months or years.
Welcome to the BCP podcast. I am James, aka BCP, Black Assertive Patriot. On this program, over the last several episodes, have I not talked about possible black swan events and what that could look like and what that could possibly be? And have we not all together agreed that part of this attack on our country during the election year could be an attack on our infrastructure? But of course, we're just conspiracy theorists, right? Yet, as you heard in that Fox report, which I'm playing as the introduction, this bridge collapse could affect our infrastructure for years. Not for the number 4 years, but F-O-R years. Isn't that interesting?
Maryland officials say the Baltimore bridge collapse caused by a cargo ship appears to be an accident, and it may have resulted from a power issue.
We are Maryland tough, and we are Baltimore strong.
Emergency crews desperately searching for victims near Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge on Tuesday. It comes hours after a cargo ship struck one of the bridge's support beams, causing parts of the structure to snap and plummet into the Patapsco River. President Biden says the incident does not appear to be intentional.
Oh, Biden says it does not appear to be intentional. Okay, then that's it. Thanks for being here, folks. Nothing to see here. Move along, move along. Biden! Biden said it's not intentional. So why are we even looking at this?
We're going to send all the federal resources they need as we respond to this emergency. And we're going to rebuild that port together.
They're going to go in and sweep up any evidence of what actually caused it. And I love this. We're going to do it together. Yeah, like, are you and I or any person in the public going to actually go and help in this? Except for, of course, the contracted companies and professionals that will go in and do the cleanup and then build the new bridge. What's this we talk? Sure sounds like a damn communist. Oh, probably because he is. Even though that's not what he sold or they sold him as. They sold him as a moderate centrist. And we have lived the last 3+ years under the most Marxist regime this country has ever seen. But don't worry about it. It doesn't appear to be intentional, according to Joe Biden. Everything is fine. They're going to rebuild it. We're making much ado about nothing. Or are we?
Officials believe those still missing include construction workers who were filling potholes at the time. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says moments before the crash, the ship's crew reported losing power. That mayday call gave authorities the time to stop the flow of traffic both ways. But it's still unclear how many, if any, cars plummeted into the water.
These people are heroes. They saved lives last night.
Now I'm going to get into the strategic importance of what just transpired here. But of course, the spin, of course, has to be, there has to be tragedy, right? So we've got some missing people. Now, I'm not trying to be a D-bag or douchey about this. Lives were lost. These were innocent people. But innocent people died on 9/11. Innocent people died from the vaccine. Innocent people died from the COVID-19 and the misadministration of medical care. So, of course, it is not a douchey move to talk about what's really going on here. And of course, now what's happening here, you hear from the mayor of Baltimore, let's talk about heroes. Let's not talk about the strategic, what this could possibly really mean. Let's talk about the missing people. Let's talk about the heroes that responded so quickly that day that saved more lives from perishing on what my initial reaction is a pre-planned event, probably the first in a series that we're going to see in the coming days, weeks, and months.
Meanwhile, transportation officials say the bridge collapse is expected to cause major disruptions to trade and traffic in the Baltimore Harbor, considered a major route for shipping containers and cruise liners.
Certainly, environmental considerations are a priority, and so is traffic. Addressing the needs of those that were impacted, that's the focus.
The National Transportation Safety Board says it's standing by as search and rescue remains the focus right now, but they will lead the investigation into what happened. In Baltimore County, Maryland, Rebecca Castor, Fox 4 News.
Damn Marxists. The priority, the first thing that was said by the person here, her name is Jennifer Homendy, National Transportation Safety Board Chair, was about the environment.
Certainly, environmental considerations are a priority, and
then traffic and lives and logistics. It was the environment. That was the first thing that came out of her mouth. All right, let's dig into the strategic nature of what I am calling, at this point, a possible terrorist attack on our infrastructure. All right, for those of you watching, I am showing different footage of the crash. So we see that the ship's light can be seen going off and then on again as it appears to pass by the support column. And then suddenly, without explanation, the lights on the cargo ship are turned back on as the ship appears to turn toward the support column and then hits it head on. The entire span of the bridge immediately collapses in front of the ship. So, of course, there are many questions surrounding this crash. The alleged power outage the cargo ship was experiencing only seemed to happen right moments before the crash. And, of course, the official report is that it was an accident. They immediately tell us that it was an accident. An unclassified cybersecurity infrastructure security agency reported that the container ship had lost propulsion as it was leaving port and warned Maryland officials of a possible collision. Interesting. Now, I guess we're supposed to believe that the ship relied solely on the lights to see where it was going. I mean, it didn't have any, first of all, it didn't have a backup generator in case of a power outage. It didn't have GPS. And then it runs into the support column on one of the most critical bridges in America. A lot more questions than answers here, folks. Now, Laura Logan says, according to multiple intel sources, that the Baltimore Bridge collapse was an absolutely brilliant strategic attack on U.S. critical infrastructure, most likely cyber, and our intel agencies know it. In information warfare terms, they justify the U.S. along the Mason-Dixon line exactly like the Civil War. It's the second busiest strategic roadway in the nation for hazardous material, and it's now down for 4 to 5 years. As I told you before, that it's going to be down for years, which I find very interesting that they couldn't get it up quicker than that. I mean, on my trip here for my anniversary, and I'm doing other investigative things while I'm out on this side of the world. I'll discuss that at some other point, some other time. But for instance, I checked off of my bucket list walking over the chain bridge over in Hungary in Budapest from the Pest side to the Buddha side and back. They built these fancy bridges years ago without all of the pulley and crane systems and engineering and CAD and computer stuff. And it's going to take 4 to 5 years to get this bridge rebuilt. Oh, once again, of course, is going to be because of all of the environmental impact studies and all the other red tape BS they're going to have to go through. But I digress. This strategic roadway is the second busiest roadway in the nation for hazardous material. It's going to be down for 4 to 5 years, which is how long they say it will take to recover. Bridge was built specifically to move hazardous material, fuel, diesel, propane gas, nitrogen, high flammable materials, chemicals, and oversized cargo that cannot fit in the tunnels. That supply chain is now crippled. And what does that mean? That means that these dangerous materials, well, now they're going to have to reroute them. And perhaps to places where we don't have the same security and the same infrastructure. Wouldn't that be uncanny if because of these rerouting, we have a chemical spill in some other strategic place? Or a dirty bomb is able to, you know, circumvent security? Because now, just like we had during the COVID shutdowns, they're going to forget about all the rules, regulations, and laws, and they're going to be very lax. And now things are going to be even more lax because, of course, we've got to get this material around the nation. We can't hold it up. We can't hold our economy hostage. We're going to have to reroute all this other stuff. And, of course, we can't be stopping and checking and actually enforcing our laws and rules and regulations. So it's going to be very easy for them to get a dirty bomb in, to transport more terrorists because, of course, everything has to be rerouted and we're not prepared for that. And we can't stop the economy now, can we? The possible ramifications of this are huge and very, very alarming and disconcerting. So that supply chain of getting diesel, propane, gas, nitrogen, highly flammable materials, chemicals, and oversized cargo is now crippled. Now, if you look at the video, it appears that there's some black smoke coming just as the ship hits the support structure. Some are saying that they were, you know, they were trying to restart the diesel generator. But I've read, how come they didn't throw an anchor in? I don't know, but I've read a couple places that that would have been the protocol, to throw an anchor in to stop, since they knew they had no lights and they were moving toward a structure to stop themselves in place from hitting something. And they had no bearings whatsoever. They knew which direction the bridge was in. You can see they had lights. Why did they steer away from it? These are obvious questions. Going back to Lara Logan, make no mistake, this was an extraordinary attack in terms of planning, timing, and execution. The two critical components on that bridge are two load-bearing pylons on each end closest to the shore. They are bigger, thicker, and deeper than anything else. These are the anchor points, and knew that hitting either one of them would be a fatal wound to the integrity of the bridge. Half a mile of bridge went in the river. Likely, you will have to build a new one. Also caused so much damage to the structural integrity of the bottom concrete part that you cannot see and won't know until they take the wreckage apart. Structural destruction likely absolute. Attack perfectly targeted. Quote, they have figured out how to bring us down. As long as you stay away from the teeth of the U.S. military, you can pick the U.S. apart. We are arrogant and arrogant. Lethal combination. Obama said that we would fundamentally change America, and they did. We are in a free fall ride on a roller coaster right now. No brakes, just picking up speed. The footage shows the cargo ship never got in the approach lane in the channel. You have to be in the channel before you can go into that turn. Location was precise and deliberate. Choose a bend in the river where you have to slow down and commit yourself. Once you're committed in that area, there is not enough room to maneuver. Should have had a harbor pilot to pilot the boat. You are not supposed to traverse any obstacles without the harbor pilot. Now, by the way, this is on Twitter, and when I read this earlier, it's still here. There was a community note. It said, the post claims there should have been a harbor pilot on board. Reliable news sources say there were, in fact, two pilots on board. Okay, so that kind of makes it even worse, doesn't it? That there were two people that should have been able to mitigate this, but neither one of them did it. They chose a full moon so they would have maximum tidal shift, rise and fall, brisk flow in that river on a normal day, and have had a lot of rain recently, so water was already moving along at a good pace. Hit with enough kinetic energy to knock the load-bearing pylon out from under the highway, which fatally weakens the span, and then 50% of the bridge fell into the water. All these factors, when you look at it, this is how you teach people how to do this type of attack, and there are so few people left in the system who knows this. They have a junior varsity team on the field. Tremendous navigational obstruction. Huge logistical nightmare to clean this up. Number of dead is tragic, but not the whole measure of the attack. That kind of bridge constantly under repair, always at night because there's so much traffic and they cannot obstruct that during the day. So concern is for repair guys who are on foot, out of their vehicles, working, who may be in the water. 48 degrees at most at this time of year. Yeah, it just from this seems pretty strategic. Pretty strategic. It's going to be a logistical nightmare. When you choke off Baltimore, you have cut off the main north-south hazardous corridor, I-95 in half. Now they have to go around the city or go somewhere else. What's relatively close, folks, to Baltimore, if not, I don't know, Washington, D.C., the capital? To move some of that cargo through the tunnel, you may be able to get a permit, but those are slow to get and require an escort system that is expensive and had to be done at night. For every $100 that goes in the city, $12 comes from shipping. Believe this will cripple the city of Baltimore at a time when you do not have the resources to recover. Now let's get some additional insight from Fox News contributor Jim Nels. Let me read you quickly his bio so you know that he knows what he's talking about, and he appears to be a patriot. Jim Nels, Fox News. Jim Nels is a supply chain consultant based in Chicago. He has served as a chief procurement officer, chief supply chain officer, and chief operations officer for multiple companies. Jim served his country as a naval officer after attending college on a NROTC scholarship. He has a bachelor's from Northwestern University in economics and French, as well as a master's in management from the J.L. Kellogg Graduate School of Business. And here is the additional insight that Jim has for us. Now, I want you to pay attention to a few things here, which will include the economic impact and also the logistical impact, and how he calls this a blueprint, but I will call it something else in just a moment here. So Jim Nels goes on to say, it begs the question, why did the ship not drop anchor upon losing power, as is standard protocol when a ship is in what is called a restricted maneuvering condition? Upon losing power, the ship's personnel should have dropped anchor. That's what I said before. It had come from my reading this article previously. Regardless of the ship failing to follow protocol, the disaster should serve as a warning about the security of our ports. The port of Baltimore is now closed. The port handled 52.3 million tons of international cargo worth approximately $81 billion in 2023. The port supports more than 15,000 direct jobs and more than 139,000 indirect jobs, and generates more than $3 billion in total personal income. The port handled a record amount of foreign cargo last year, and it was the 17th biggest port in the nation overall in 2021, ranked by total tons, and this is according to the Bureau of Transportation Statistics. The port was the largest importer of trucks and light vehicles in 2023, with approximately 750,000 cars and light trucks entering the port in 2023. Well, I guess now we're going to have to buy, I don't know, domestic EVs that no one wants to buy. Beyond that, an estimated 12.4 million vehicles across the Francis Scott Key Bridge every year, nearly 34,000 per day. 12.4 million vehicle crossings, 34,000 per day, that has now stopped. The economic impact of this bridge collapse is beyond measure. Now, as of the time that Jim Nels wrote this, there were more than 40 ships that were stuck inside of the harbor. So there's a collapsed bridge. They can't go on that other side now. Imagine a similar accident in New York. Now, this is where it gets scary. Collapsing the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, blocking the entrance of the ports of New York and New Jersey, which moved nearly 9.5 million containers back in 2022. In addition, Synergy Marine Group, the company that operates the vessel, is a huge fan of DEI, claiming that they realize that the benefits of diversity are best achieved by fostering greater inclusion and belonging. So they want to make sure that within their ranks of employment wasn't just patriots and hardworking people, but perhaps they want to make sure among their diversity hires were terrorists or operatives for China, the deep state, and other folks that are trying to carry out terrorist attacks and cripple our country. Ooh, gotta love those diversity hires. but I digress. Perhaps they should be focusing on navigation and not diversity. To paraphrase Elon Musk's interview with Don Lemon, DEI can lead to DIE. So what is to be done? First Nations Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, Buttigieg, as Trump would say, has been missing in action. But if he decides to do any work, according to Jim Nels, he needs to ensure that all ships entering American ports are properly manned and that they follow standard protocols when entering our waters. Second, these protocols need to be formalized into law and not just be standard practice. Last, the U.S. Coast Guard must ensure the safety of our ports, even at the risk of impacting commerce. This disaster has become a blueprint for terrorists looking to destroy our nation's economy. And this is where I think I disagree with Jim Nels. This is not a blueprint for what terrorists in the future can do. This is the execution of a blueprint that was already formulated that we just watched executed right before us. If you think I'm wrong, tell me why in the comment section down below. I'm curious to read and see your take on this situation.
We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.